I'm Nathan Cullen, the MLA for Stikine.
What conversations are you having with your constituents regarding the changes coming to BC drivers in May of this year?
Well, in general, folks can't believe it, that there's, you know, a likelihood of their premiums being reduced by as much as 20%, that there's a rebate coming back to people, and that, you know, enhanced care is also coming, so that there's not going to be a limit on the care people require after an accident, that people will be covered regardless of where the accident takes place in Canada and the U.S., and that pedestrians and cyclists and others will also be able to access this kind of care. So I think people are a bit surprised. ICBC has been such a mess for so long, and I think used badly by previous governments, that once you turn it around and clean up some of that mess, you can actually see how a public insurer can provide really good service at much lower rates.
Yeah. Do you know how close the Liberals got to switching BCers insurance to a privatized company?
The problem in the past here in BC is that the former government kind of cooked the books with ICBC. So they used ICBC as what one Liberal colleague said to me was an ATM. Whenever the government needed more money, they just turned to ICBC and said, pay out less, charge more, and give us the profit that you get from that, and we're going to roll it into general revenue. And we've stopped that, not just now, but forever. The insurer should just do what an insurer does, which is insure people.
Absolutely. And what does the NDP want to address with these new insurance rates? Is it that it was mismanaged before, or what do you think is kind of the main drivers for it?
Well, yeah, I guess it's two birds with one stone. I mean, it was badly mismanaged. It was often called a dumpster fire over at ICBC. People's experience in trying to get coverage once there was an accident was often brutal, right? You would just get rejected and rejected over and over again. Premiums were going up, and the actual care you got went down. So in reforming what was happening inside the actual organization of ICBC, making it illegal for the government to steal money, which I think it's stealing money from ratepayers if you just take the money out of the system and use it for whatever else government was hoping to do. And then the effects have been, well, it's a much leaner and more efficient operation. It's, you know, again, people are getting their coverages fees dropped by as much as a fifth as of May 1st. And millions of British Columbians are going to get a one-time prorated refund that will be just like a check in the mail. All of that happening while the enhanced care coverage comes into place, which means if there is an accident, your coverage is better, it's for life, and it is with not set on a limit. So, I mean, this is what happens when you have pooled insurance, is that if you do it right, and if you do it with the intention of making things fair for people and more affordable, it's amazing what we can do together.
Yeah. And I mean, when we're talking about insurance, you obviously know that I've spoken with Darcy Reppin. So he says that while the insurance rates are a positive change, and that he's very happy that these changes are in effect, that ICBC still needs to have rates that reflect accident rates and claims more accurately for rural drivers without the subsidies. So what do you say to that?
Well, I spoke with Darcy, I think, just last week, and he was provided me with decks and tables and tables and tables, and we're going to take them up with ICBC and say, explain, you know, how is it that rates are calculated for the north and rural BC? It looks like we have fewer and less costly accidents when we do have accidents, which kind of makes sense, I suppose. I think some people had initial bias that rural drivers, you know, because we're more often on highways driving faster, would have much more dangerous, much more serious accidents. But it turns out it's not the case. That in the Lower Mainland and places like that, there's so much more traffic. Any kind of accident with the way cars are now automatically, you know, has a pretty significant cost to it. So I think the questions he's asking are good ones. I, of course, have to be careful as a legislator that I'm not saying this town or that constituent or this group of people over here deserve to get a break, because that's the old way of doing politics. We want it to be fair across the board. And I think the changes we've made, making ICBC more accountable and much more transparent in the way that they take in money and the way they put out insurance claims, is better. We've also introduced a tribunal so that there's an independent tribunal from ICBC when there's a dispute, when someone wants to challenge what's happened, that it's not ICBC being the one playing judge, jury, as much as it has in the past.
I mean, I've actually received some emails because I did send out a poll to our listeners to see mm-hmm. how people feel yeah. about it. And one of the, actually more than one of the responses was that people believe this to be a very ableist policy, but this, mm-hmm. this policy is being called ableist, but I find that it's by law firms, but people who are also reading this and getting a lot of, they're actually getting quite worked yeah. up about this new policy. Are you hearing anything about that? What are your thoughts on that?
Not as much, but I'm very open to hearing from people in the community as to, you know, from their perspective, because I like you, you know, clean driving record. I don't have problems getting in and out of cars and that kind of thing. What the specific policy changes are that's caused them some worry. I also know that there's a bunch of lawyers that are unhappy with the changes we've made because they're not going to be able to collect nearly as many fees in these long, drawn-out ICBC cases. So I got lawyer friends, and, you know, I don't always want to make lawyers mad, but if a group of lawyers had their entire business predicated upon a broken system and they're unhappy, well, I think just by general conclusion, then that makes me happier because I don't want insurance claims, the bare minimum, right? Like, let's not make lawyers rich on something that is supposed to just be providing a public good.
Yeah, exactly. You did mention that the new updated policies, and that you did mention that cyclists mm-hmm. are part of the people who are benefiting from that. But what I actually read was that it's still going to be quite difficult for cyclists to receive wage loss coverage and things like that. Is there any talks about that being improved or updated in the future as well, in this no-fault insurance policy?
Bringing cyclists much more into the system. There's no overall limit to the accident benefits, right? Under this, what's called an enhanced care. There used to be limits, hard limits set over time. So that means for physio and counseling or whatever it is that people need, that's the current limit is $300,000. So that no limit applies to everybody, drivers, passengers, cyclists, and pedestrians. So that gives people, I think, a greater sense of peace of mind. But happy to talk to the cycling community and find out if there's further changes we should suggest. And I'll be more than happy to be the one doing it.
Yeah, well, I'm reaching out to Cycle 16, so we'll have that perspective awesome. On it as well. Okay, well, thanks so much, Nathan. I really appreciate you giving me the time today.
Not a bit. Anytime. Really enjoyed the conversation.
Okay, bye-bye.